بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد الحمد لله. Today is the 20th of May in the year 2018. Alhamdulillah, we moved on to the 20th session or week that we're going through the commentary of the glorious Surah Hud alayhi salatu wasalam. Alhamdulillah, we've also reached the holy month of Ramadan. So we pray to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has mercy upon us and forgives us our many failings during this sacred month and indeed throughout our lives. Ameen. So inshallah, today going through verse 96 up to and including verse 102. So verse 96, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. And we sent Musa alayhi salatu wasalam with our clear signs and an authority manifest. So note, immediately after discussing the Holy Prophet Shu'ayb alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah the Almighty and Glorious, He's now talking about Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. So is there any significance? And the significance is yes. Like I mentioned, Shu'ayb alayhi salatu wasalam was the father-in-law of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, according to many reports. And this seems to indicate this. Because immediately after Shu'ayb alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah the Almighty and Glorious talks about Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. And similarly in the Quran, in Surah 28 verse 22, where did Musa alayhi salatu wasalam go? Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he went from Egypt to Madian. It clearly mentions that in the Quran. وَلَمَّا تَوَجَّهَا تِلْقَاءَ مَدْيَنَ. So note, everything seems to be gearing towards this explanation. Shu'ayb was sent to Madian. That's where he was from, alayhi salatu wasalam. It was destroyed. And Musa went to Madian, alayhi salatu wasalam. So just to add a few things about Shu'ayb alayhi salatu wasalam, linking it to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. So the first thing to point out is the report. I'll give you the reference. In Ibn Asakir, Ad-Dur al-Mantur, and Ibn Kathir's Al-Bidayah, our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, Shu'ayb alayhi salatu wasalam became blind because of the constant weeping for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, he alayhi salatu wasalam was given back his eyesight and was asked, Lo Shu'ayb alayhi salatu wasalam, was it for the fear of the fire or for the longing of paradise, i.e. that you was weeping? He alayhi salatu wasalam said, No, but it was for your love. For if I looked at you, subhanahu wa ta'ala, I would not care for my destiny. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala thereupon said, Lo, O Shu'ayb alayhi salatu wasalam, blessed be you in meeting me. For now I have assigned a servant for you, Musa, the son of Imran, alayhi salatu wasalam, the one whom I spoke to. I direct. So in this beautiful hadith, our beloved messenger is explaining a few things, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. First of all, Shu'ayb lost his sight, alayhi salatu wasalam. Why? Out of love, yearning to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine, right? He had that much love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he was yearning and he was weeping to meet him. He lost his sight, and the hadith goes, Allah ta'ala gave it back to him. So there was a period of time he was blind. But Allah the Almighty is the most generous. He asked him, why were you weeping? He knew. He wanted us to know. He asked, but don't forget, Allah ta'ala doesn't ask because he doesn't know. He asked so we could learn. Is it because of paradise? Is it because of the fear of hell? He goes, no. It's out of love to meet you. And what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? First he says, blessed be the day you meet me. In other words, glad tidings already. Then he said, subhanahu wa ta'ala, I have assigned a servant for you, Musa. Now this was well before he was going to meet Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. So note, the hadith clearly indicates that Allah ta'ala was giving him Musa as a gift alayhi salatu wasalam. So look how amazing, how their lives intertwine. Yes, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was fleeing for his life. He went to Madian. So it looks like it's just happening. He's fleeing for his life, shirt on his back, But really, it was all under the command, of course, of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was going to meet Shu'aib alayhi salatu wa salam in his old age, as they say. The other thing is, Shu'aib alayhi salatu wa salam, he was an Arab. And the hadith explains. Hafiz ibn Kathir, rahmatullah alayhi, this is in Ibn Abdul Barq as well. It is related. Salama ibn Sa'ad, radiyallahu, he was from the tribe of the Anza, he embraced Islam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, blessed is the tribe of Anza. They have been wronged, then they were victorious. They are the people of Shu'aib, alayhi salatu wa sallam, and the two sisters of Musa, alayhi salatu wa sallam. So that's the report. So this tribe embraced Islam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned something about the history. And then he said, these are the people of Shu'aib. They were Arabs. Meaning, these were his descendants. And the sisters of Musa, he had sisters. Meaning, of course, they were also related to Musa alayhi salatu wa sallam. Hafiz ibn Kathir said in his Qisas al-Anbiya, thus Shu'aib alayhi salatu wa sallam must have been linked to Musa in marriage. He must have, alayhi salatu wa sallam. And that his tribe of Anza is an Arabic tribe. How did they come together? Somebody goes, understand Shu'aib? We understand that. He's there. Where did Musa alayhi salatu wa sallam come from? So Ibn Kathir goes, you can deduct it. He must have married into the tribe of Shu'aib. Have you understood? Alayhi salatu wa sallam. And this is why the hadith, just to mention it again, in Ibn Hibban Sahih, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, four prophets are of Arabic origin. Hud, Salih, Shu'aib, and your prophet. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Shu'aib is mentioned. So note, there's a link, again, proving what? He was the father-in-law of Musa alayhi salatu wa sallam. The other thing about the incident, which is worth mentioning, I'm not going to go into it in detail, but he came to him, and it's called Surah Qasas, Surah 28. And Qasas means the narrative. You shouldn't say story, because Qasas means true. Story could be fake. The narrative. And that is entitled over this incident, the story or the narrative of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. And the report says he met the daughters of Shu'aib. And I'll mention that later if you want more details. So, going back to verse 96, therefore the link is clear. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was sent with clear signs and an authority manifest. Verse 97. Unto Fir'aun and his chiefs, but they followed the command of Fir'aun. And the command of Fir'aun was no guide. So look how tragic. They followed the command of the tyrant. And Allah the Almighty says, وَمَا أَمْرُ فِرْعَوْنَ بِرَشِيدٍ. He was no guide. Verse 98. He, I, Fir'aun, will go before his people on the day of judgment and lead them into the fire, I, as cattle are led to water. But woeful indeed will be the place to which they are led. So now if you look at this verse, verse 98, Allah the Almighty and Glorious, he uses a very interesting word. He says, فَأَوْرَدَهُمُ النَّارِ. فَأَوْرَدَهُمُ النَّارِ. So what does أَوْرَد mean? أَوْرَدَ literally means to lead as cattle down to their watering place. So when you take the cattle to the water, the cattle don't even question. They just follow. The metaphor is apt. The true herdsman is trusted by his normal flock, and he leads them in the heat of the day down to the pleasant and cool watering places in order that they may slake their thirst and be happy. However, the false leader does the opposite. He takes them down to the fire of eternal misery. Isn't that beautiful? You missed that in the English. All it says in the English is, he will lead his people into the fire. Is that justice to the Quran? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَأَوْرَدَهُمُ النَّارِ. He will lead his people into the fire just as cattle are led to water. Now, look at how beautiful. Because the cattle are the people of Fir'aun. Were you dumb? Allah Ta'ala is basically saying, he goes, Didn't you know he was taking you to the fire? You just willingly went with him. And then he says, but woeful indeed will be the place to which they are led. In other words, what a disastrous destination he sent you to. And look how touching. The cattle want water. What did they get instead? Fire. So what a beautiful description that Allah gives to these, lemmings, as they say, innit? Astaghfirullah. Verse 99. Oh, just to add this. So what does it say? He will go before his people on the day of judgment and lead them into the fire. There's another passage, and this is certainly worth mentioning, Surah Ghafir, Surah 40. And if you look at Surah 40, verse 45 and 46, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions there about these people. At the end of verse 45, he says, وَحَاقَ بِعَالِ فِرْعَوْنَ سُوءُ الْعَذَابِ. But the brunt of the penalty encompassed on all sides the people of Fir'aun. Then it says, verse 46, in front of the fire will they be brought morning and evening. Look how strange the verse. In front of the fire will they be brought morning and evening. Question. Morning and evening. They're dead. If you're dead, you're going to go to the hell. You understand this. The Quran doesn't say that. It goes, Ghuduwa wa ashiya, morning and evening, they'll be sent to the fire. So there's a report. In Ibn Jarir and Ibn Kathir's tafsir, Qatada rahmatullah alayhi, he recited Surah 40, verse 46. An-naru yu'raduna alayhim, ghuduwa wa ashiya. In front of the fire will there be brought morning and evening. He explained, this means, every morning and every evening, for as long as this world remains, it will be said to the people of Fir'aun by way of rebuke and humiliation, O people of Fir'aun, this is your position. So every morning and evening, they're rebuked. Because this is where he led you to. This is where he led you to. This is where he led you to. In another report, it mentions in Ibn Kathir's tafsir, Ibn Zayd rahmatullah alayhi said, they are there even today, being exposed to it morning and evening until the hour begins. Every single day this will happen. Ibn Zayd said this 1,200 years ago. Even today, 1,200 years later, we can say the same. Even today, they've been rebuked like this. This is why there's a famous hadith which explains. In Sahih Bukhari and Muslim and Imam Ahmad's Muslim, Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhu relates that our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when one of you dies, he is shown his place, i.e. in paradise or hell, morning and evening. If he is one of the people of paradise, then he is one of the people of paradise. And if he is one of the people of hell, then he is one of the people of hell. It will be said to him, this is your place, until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala resurrects you to go to it on the day of resurrection. Famous hadith. So we, inshallah, look how strange this is going to sound. We, inshallah, will see hell. If I stop there, you're thinking, don't say that. But what do I mean by that? In the grave. Allah Ta'ala shows you that, said this is where you would have gone. Imagine at that time when he said, literally, you wiping the sweat off your head. Allah Ta'ala doesn't just say, you missed it. He shows it to you. He goes, this is where you would have gone. Imagine at that time thinking, oh my God. He goes, but you're safe from it. He goes, this is where you're going. Paradise. So this is a further, pleasure for the people of the graves. But the unbelievers, astaghfirullah, they show in paradise. They're getting wiped. Before they get wiped, Allah Ta'ala goes, oh, by the way, this is where you would have gone. astaghfirullah, as if that's enough. Isn't there enough punishment for them? And this will happen, it says, till Qiyamah. So note, we shouldn't find these reports strange about the Fir'aun. Everybody has this to a certain degree as well, mentioned in Bukhari and Muslim. What happened to the people of Fir'aun? In Qurtubi, in his tadkhira, is Hassan. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu said, the souls of the people of the Egyptian Fir'aun, the Egyptian people and the Fir'aun, are placed inside some black birds. They are brought to hell twice every day and told, this is your last abode. This explains the verse. And then Ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, he recited verse 46 of Ghafir. In front of the fire will they be brought morning and evening. So look how interesting. What did the great Ibn Mas'ud say in this authentic report? The souls of the Fir'aun and the ones who followed him are placed in blackbirds. Now what's interesting about that? Exact opposite of the martyrs. The martyrs' souls are placed in greenbirds. And they are allowed to travel from the lanterns under the arsh, which is an incredible honor. So note, Allah Ta'ala is transporting the souls to other creations. So the body remains, like you see the body of the Firaun. Where's his soul? It's in the black bird. And they're shown hell twice every day. Think about that. You know, what a punishment Allah Ta'ala has given to these people. So this is a hadith from Ibn Mas'ud. We don't know much details, but he explained this. Radiyallahu. Also, there's a report. This hadith is in Bayhaqi in his Dalail Nubu'ah, Ibn Abi Hatim, Ibn Jarir, Ibn Kathir, Zahabi in his Qabair. Our beloved messenger, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, during the Isra, I passed by a group of people whose stomachs were as large as houses, and due to the heavy weight of their belly, they were bending down alongside a path on which the people of Fir'aun were taken. Then the Prophet recited, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, verse 46, in front of the fire will they be brought morning and evening. To stop in the report. So the Prophet on the Isra, he sees hell. He's shown hell, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he sees these people, and literally stomachs as big as houses. And because of the way, they've literally tilted forward. And the people of Fir'aun are walking over them. The hadith continues. The people are walking over them to be tormented by the fire. On their return, Fir'aun's people seem like beaten camels, neither listening nor sensible. When the people with large bellies see them coming, they try to stand up, but cannot. So the people of Fir'aun trample them again, and they sway back and forth. Stop in the report. So the people of Fir'aun trample over them. They're going towards hell. And when the people of Fir'aun return, they're black and blue. Astaghfirullah. Imagine they're getting punished. And then the people with the stomachs, they try to avoid them. They can't. They trample over them again. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, this will be their punishment in the barzakh, that is between this world and the hereafter. I asked, O Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, who are these people with the stomachs, huge as houses? Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam said, these are the people who consumed interest. They will not stand except as one who shaitan touches and he has destroyed with his touch. So who are the people? The people who deal in riba. Interest, dealing in it, you know, astaghfirullah. The people of Fir'aun are walking over them. Worse than the people of Fir'aun, imagine. A person goes, how can they be worse than the people of Fir'aun? No, but yeah, but the hadith says it. Hadith mentions it. So what does that tell you? Riba is such a vile thing. How vile is it? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned in one hadith in Imam Ahmad's Musnad, to take one dirham of, or one penny for want of a better word, of riba, is less sinful than 36 zinas. So imagine you're married, and you commit zina. You do it 36 times. Somebody takes one pence of riba, who's worse? So the Bible said, well, can't be the zina. He's not. That means that you have to keep away from it like the plague. What about these stomachs? Why were their stomachs so huge? This is a hadith. In Ibn Majah, Ahmad Asbahani Targhib, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned, during my ascension in the seventh heaven, I heard thunder and thunderbolts overhead. I saw people with stomachs as large as houses between their hands. And inside their stomachs, snakes and scorpions were visible from the outside. I asked, who are they, O Jibreel? Alayhi salatu wasalam. He replied, the consumers of interest. So this adds a detail. They're not just swollen up. They're snakes and scorpions. And the stomach is transparent. Astaghfirullah. How painful is it when a parasite gets inside the stomach? Ask the people how painful it is. Right? And snakes and scorpions inside. So this is the punishment in the barzakh. Not even on the day of judgment. Imagine. For the people who don't repent from that crime. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that they are at war with Allah ta'ala and His Messenger. You've taken to war. So even though it's common, you know, like people say, oh, everybody's doing it. It doesn't make the sin any less. Backbiting is common. Isn't that still a huge crime? So keep away from it as best you can. And of course, if you're involved somewhere with the smoke, Allah Ta'ala will surely show mercy, inshallah. So note in the barzakh and question, doesn't that also prove that there's something happening in the barzakh? Because there were some people in the ummah who believed as soon as you die, that's it, nothing happens. You're dead. And then on the day of judgment, you're resurrected. There's nothing in the grave. So the response to that is, what about these verses I've just quoted? What about these narrations? Therefore, there's certainly things taking place. But not the soul is dominant in the barzakh. Though the body does get some treatment, as they say. So what does it say in this verse? Going back to the verse we're going through, verse 98. He will go before his people on the day of judgment, lead them into the fire. As cattle are led to water, but woeful indeed will be the place to which they are led. So after all that, that's still happening. That's on the day of judgment, he leads them again. Follow your imam into the hellfire. Verse 99. They are followed by a curse in this life and on the day of judgment. And woeful is the gift which shall be given to them. What's the curse in this life? What they're getting now? What's the curse on the day of judgment? What they're going to get? Allah Ta'ala says, woeful is the gift. In other words, this is a wretched thing that's been given to them. Verse 100. These are some of the narratives of the communities which we relate unto you, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Of them, some are standing, and some have been mowed down, i.e. by the sickle of time. So look how interesting. Allah Ta'ala describes Musa alayhi salatu wa sallam, the least of all the prophets. Why? Because here is just to mention the continuance of Shu'ayb. But there's far more detail about Musa in various parts of the Quran. This is the least he talks about. But then he describes something very interesting. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala talks to his beloved by saying, I've mentioned all this to you. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Some are standing, meaning they were destroyed. What does that mean? Amongst the communities which remained standing was Egypt. Although the Pharaoh and his wicked people have been swept away. Isn't that true? The pyramids are still there. They're digging out all these, you know, chambers and God knows what else. They're still there. Somebody goes, well, what happened there? Didn't God punish them? You know, people ask these questions. What happened to God's punishment? Read the Quran, you fruitcake. So he goes, what does it say in Quran? Verse 100 of Surah Hud. These are some of the narratives of communities we have related to you. Some of them are standing. And some have been mowed down like Qawmi Ad, wiped out. Qawmi Madian, wiped out. So look how interesting. Allah Ta'ala sometimes leaves them. Not only left the pyramids and the chambers, he left Pharaoh as a sign. People still visit him in the museum. You know, there is the Pharaoh, and they just look at it like an interesting curiosity. He goes, astaghfirullah, this is the Pharaoh. Why am I come to see the Pharaoh for? You're paying to see him as well. Why am I paying to see the curse one? Astaghfirullah. And there you go, people go, is that the Pharaoh? And pointing to him. Well, brother, if it is, isn't that shock you? Right? You should be thinking, astaghfirullah, going to a cursed place is bad enough. You're taking me to the curses of cursed. The man himself, astaghfirullah. So not, he was preserved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what's interesting, what have they discovered about his body? He goes, the parasites that decay the flesh are not found in his body. Why is that then, you bloody fruitcakes, right? Everything about him is a sign. Where's these parasites that are decaying them? Why are they missing? He goes, well, we're still researching into that. Right? And he's thinking, Allah Ta'ala, how many signs do you want? You got the Pharaoh right in front of you, and you're still going to follow him like them cattle to the fire. Imagine it. Astaghfirullah. Verse 101. It was not we that wronged them. They wronged their own souls. The deities other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whom they invoked profited them no whit when they issued the decree of your Lord. Nor did they add out to their lot but perdition. So this is very important. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا ظَلَمْنَاهُمْ وَلَاكِنْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ. Every crime they committed was what led to their destruction. I didn't wrong them. They were the ones who did the wrong, and thus they were punished. And their gods left them in the lurch. Imagine. What happened to your gods? Go to all the nations in the past that were wiped out. What happened to that Baal? What happened to this? And what happened to Suwa? What happened to Nasr? What happened to them? And isn't that a proof? They were just made up figments of your imagination. But added punishments coming because of that as well, the Quran says. Verse 102. Such is the chastisement of your Lord when he chastises communities in the midst of their wrong. grievous indeed, and severe is his chastisement. In Sahih Bukhari and Muslim, Abu Musa al-Ashari radiallahu anhu relates that our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he gives respite to a zalim, an oppressor, but when he takes him over, he never releases him. Then the Prophet recited this verse, 102. وَكَذَٰلِكَ أَخْذُ رَبِّكَ إِذَا أَخَذَ الْقُرَىٰ وَهِيَ ظَالِمًا إِنَّ أَخْذَهُ عَلِيمٌ شَدِيدٌ. Such is the chastisement of your Lord when he chastises communities in the midst of their wrong. Grievous indeed and severe is his chastisement. So look how interesting. The Prophet mentions something about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He goes, Allah ta'ala gives respite to the zalim. He doesn't take him to task. How long did he give Fir'aun? Think about that. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he passed away at the age of 120, 130. He was given Nabuwwat at the age of 40. Proclaimed it at the age of 40. So what period of his life was he with Fir'aun? Decades. Allah Ta'ala didn't take him to task. I am God, Fir'aun said. These rivers that flow under the mine. No task, no task. Allah Ta'ala says that in the Quran. I don't take him to task immediately. But when I do, they're doomed. Now why is that such a chilling verse? Because we might be zalims. Allah Ta'ala, just because this was shaitan plays on everything, he's locked up in the month of Ramadan. If you committed such a grave sin, why weren't you taken to task? Don't you get that whisper? Right? If this was such a great sin, because read the Quran. Allah Ta'ala says in the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah Ta'ala gives respite to a zalim. But he will take him. And when he does, nobody can save him. Meaning, you should always be fearful of this. And this is why there's another passage to conclude. In Surah 6, verse 44. In Surah An'am. Surah 6, verse 44. It adds a detail, very important detail. So this, I mentioned the hadith. The hadith mentions, in Ahmad in his Musnad, 4-145, Bayhaqi, Tabarani, 17-283, Ibn Jarir in his Tafsir, number 13,272, Zahabi in his Kabair, Uqba ibn Amr, radiallahu, he relates, our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when you see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving a servant whatever of the dunya he wants, despite his disobedience, then know that this is istidraj, a tribulation. Then the Prophet recited this verse, Surah 6, verse 44. فَلَمَّا نَسُوا مَا ذُكِّرُوا بِهِ فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ أَبْوَابَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ حَتَّى إِذَا فَرِحُوا بِمَا أُوتُوا أَخَذْنَاهُمْ بَغَتَةً فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْلِسُونَ. But when they forgot the warning they had received, we opened to them the gates of all good things, until in the midst of their enjoyment of our gifts, suddenly we call them to account, when lo, they were plunged into despair. So this adds a very important detail. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said something very interesting. You get a person, the Prophet saying sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is disobeying his Lord, not praying, taking interest, committing zina, taking drugs. But Allah Ta'ala gives him dunya. Give it him. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this is istidraj. It's a very interesting word. This is istidraj, meaning he's giving him a rope to hang himself. He goes, in other words, watch him. And what does that person go into? Absolute deluded state. He looks at the Muslims, he thinks, in the end of the day, I've got a bigger house than you, got a better car, I've got more money, I've got money coming in my ears, I've got kids, you're not even married. And he starts looking at that. But that is part of his punishment. Allah Ta'ala has given him istidraj. He doesn't even know he's been led to punishment. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this is what this verse means. When they forgot the warning they received, we open to them the gates of all things. In the midst of their enjoyment, all of a sudden, we call them to account. So this is one report. In another report, in Ibn Abi Hatim Ibn Kathir Ad-Dur al-Mantur Hasan al-Basri rahmatullah alayh, he said, whoever Allah the Almighty gives provision and he thinks he is not testing him, he has no wisdom. And whoever has little provision and thinks that Allah Ta'ala will not look at him, provide for him, he has no wisdom. He then recited this verse, verse 44 of An'am. Hasan al-Basri added, by the Lord of the Kaaba, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deceived these people when he gave them what they wished, and then they were inevitably punished. So Hasan al-Basri added something, rahmatullah alayh. What he said is, there's two people who are very ignorant. One is, Allah Ta'ala gives a lot, and he doesn't realize he's being tested. Have we been given a lot? The answer is yes. Do you think you're tested? If you said no, this verse applies to you. Or, Allah Ta'ala restricts your rizq, restricts it. And you start thinking, I'm not going to get it. I'm going to have to do something drastic. He's got no wisdom. This verse applies to them. Hasan al-Basri said. So what does that tell you? Allah Ta'ala deals with his servants in very strange ways. We call it very strange. So how is this related to this verse? Verse 102 of Hud, alayhi salatu wasalam. Surah Hud is talking about the punishment. He gives them respite. When the punishment comes, nobody can stop it. Therefore, you always ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect you. Oh my Lord, if you're testing me, give me understanding. Protect me. So I know that I've been tested. And you ask Allah ta'ala to protect you from the fate of being punished. And how do Allah ta'ala take these people out? Just to finish. The hadith is in Tabarani. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Allah the Almighty takes out an oppressor by another oppressor. This is a hadith. Meaning, if you cause corruption in the land, i.e. dealing in drugs, or causing havoc, Allah Ta'ala will take you out by another shaitan. So a person goes, well, just think of people who've caused corruption. Who takes them out? He was hit. Who hit him? Right? A rival group. That's interesting. Right? Why have they got all those bodyguards around them? What a wretched life. You know, you look at certain people, they've got all this money, they can't even spend it. They've got big black dogs guarding their houses. What sort of a wretched life is that? You can't even have a peaceful sleep. He's got a gun under his pillow. Imagine, what? Isn't that enough punishment for you on the earth? Can't even have a decent night's sleep. This guy's having a cracking sleep. Right, so note all of this you can deduce from these holy verses. But note, Allah Ta'ala gives time to the oppressors. He gives time to them. For example, look at what's happening in Palestine. What do people say? Where's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He's giving them time. You honestly believe he's not keeping an eye on these people? Read the Quran in it. Allah Ta'ala will deal with them at the time it's appropriate. If they don't repent. And then he will not release them. When his punishment comes, then you start flipping around the other side. Ya Allah, but now you want mercy. Want them to wipe them out. When you see the people getting roasted in hell, what's going to go through your heart? Right? Now you want mercy. That's because you're a human being. You don't understand the state of these people. So I'll recite the verses and we will conclude. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولقد أرسلنا موسى بآياتنا وسلطان مبين إلى فرعون وملئه فاتبعوا أمر فرعون وما أمر فرعون برشيد يقدم قومه يوم القيامة فأوردهم النار وبئس الورد المورود وأتبعوا في هذه لعنة ويوم القيامة بئس الرفد المرفود ذلك من أنباء القرى نقصه عليك منها قائم وحصيد وما ظلمناهم ولكن ظلموا أنفسهم فما أغنت عنهم آلهتهم التي آلهتهم التي يدعون من دون الله من شيء لما جاء أمر ربك وما زادوهم غير تتبيب وكذلك أخذ ربك إذا أخذ القرى وهي ظالمة إن أخذه أليم شديد. We pray to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He makes the Quran the Nabi of our hearts. And I pray to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He forgives me for any errors which I may have inadvertently uttered. سبحان ربي حمدي سبحان الله وما بحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك واتوب الله من الشيطان الرجيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون سلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والاصل ان الانسان لفي خسر الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر صدق الله العظيم.